Episode 5, The Photos of Misfortune. Howdy ho, everybody. Welcome back to the How I Got Goosebumps podcast. I was on a rather long hiatus, but I noticed through my analytics and things through Anchor, which is the partnership I use, I noticed that the podcast has actually been growing more and more and more. And I haven't been posting any episodes, and that's just because I had to take some time for myself, I suppose, and I went to my grandmother's 90th birthday party, and that was out of state, so I was gone for a week for that, and then I got a new job, and then that new job pretty much was taking up most of my time. But anyway, welcome. Welcome back to the podcast. Glad to have you here. Glad to have you listening. Hope everybody has been enjoying the series so far. We're only on episode 5. And each episode, I know that they're not too long, but I'd love to have them be a little longer sometimes here and there. Alrighty-dighty, so today we're going to be going over the fourth book in the original Goosebumps series called Say Cheese and Die. Okay, one thing I have to get out of the way before I even start to talk about this book and going in depth and all that fun stuff. I loved the book, okay, but the TV episode I did not care for. They changed too much, and honestly, I couldn't even sit through the TV episode. The episodes are only, 22 minutes long? But I could not, for the life of me, sit through the episode for this book. And that's just because it was so boring. It was so bland and boring. And it just didn't feel like it was going anywhere. The scare factors from the book simply didn't transfer over very well. But also they changed some things, like the camera and things like that. So, because in the book, the camera is described as somewhat of just a regular old Polaroid camera that looks like any other camera. And that's terrifying because you don't know whether or not if, let's say you just take a picture, you go to Walmart or something, and then you buy one of those Polaroid cameras, and then you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna snap some photos, and then bada bing, bada boom, everyone in your life is either dead, missing, or trapped in enslavement or something like that. But in the TV episode, they made it out like it was this mystical alien looking camera, and it looked honestly like a toy more than anything. It looked nothing like a camera, but the kids were just like, oh, this must be a camera. And this is like, you kids, how do you know this? You just found it. Have you ever seen a camera like this before? Probably not. Okay, I'm gonna stop ranting about this. So let's go over the book, shall we? Say Cheese and Die is the fourth book in the original Goosebumps book series, and it was the first book in the Say Cheese and Die saga. And it was first published in 1992, and this book follows Greg and his friends who discover a strange camera, and things get chaotic after he takes a lot of pictures. It was later followed up by the 44th book, Say Cheese and Die Again. And then I believe there was also a Goosebumps Horrorland book based off this. Either it was a Horrorland or it was something else. I forget. I know there's another one. And the original 1992 cover illustration shows a Polaroid picture laying either on the ground or something like that. And it just shows a whole family and they're at a barbecue or picnic or something. And they're all dead. They're all skeletons just laughing it up and having a great time. And then in the 2009 reprint, it is a completely different cover art, and it shows a creepy house in the background with a fence, and then it has like this point of view shot from the ground where the camera is laying in the grass with, I'm assuming, someone's deceased hand laying next to the camera. And then the camera lens is cracked and has a skull in it, but the camera lens, the camera itself looks like a regular everyday camera. And so it makes sense, but again, like in the TV episode, they changed too much. And also for the 1992 original print, the main color was red, like this spooky blood sort of red. And then the 2003 reprint, they changed it to like this light blue. And then in 2009, of course, they got rid of the border and all that sort of stuff. And they started using the newest Goosebumps logo. So the cover artist, of course, is going to be Tim Jacobus. He did most of the art for a lot of the books. And the tagline for the front cover of the book is one picture is worth a thousand screams. Super spooky. And it only came out in paperback, and it was released in November of 1992 with 132 pages. Long book. Not very long book. It's about average. It's about an average book. So the blurb on the back of the book says, "Every picture tells a story. Greg thinks there is something wrong with the old camera he and his friends found. The photographs keep turning out wrong. Very wrong. Like the snapshot Greg took of his father's new car, and now it is totaled. And then Greg's father is in a nasty wreck. But Greg's friends don't believe him. Sherry even makes Greg bring the camera to her birthday party and take her picture. Only Sherry's not in the photograph when it develops. Is Sherry about to be taken out of the picture permanently? Who is going to take the next fall for the evil camera?" I just love how spooky they tried to make this camera sound. The evil camera. You better watch out. You better watch out, or the evil camera is going to get you. You're going to be waking up in a cold sweat from your fever dream in the middle of the night. And then you're just like, oh God, the evil camera is back. Who needs boogeymen and like Slenderman or something whenever you got the evil camera? Am I right? Up top. That's right. by the way, before I start going over the book, I went to my local bookstore and I've been trying to collect like all of my old favorite books from the original series, and I've been trying to find original prints from 1992, and it is very hard to find these. The only ones I was able to find were ones that were donated, I'm assuming, to the bookstore by local schools. Because these things are tattered, they're old, they have writing in them, they have teachers' names on them, things like that. It's super funny. But I want to tell you what I have. Okay, so I'm going to start out with book number 48, which is Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns. I actually accidentally bought two copies of this, and I don't know why I bought two. I think I saw it one day, and then I was like, oh, I don't have this one, so I bought it. And then I went back, and then I saw it again, and I was like, oh, I don't have this one, and I bought it again or something. But I got two copies of number 48, Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns. And Attack of the Jack-O-Lanterns, really, really good book. Really good episode as well. Next, I have number 16, which is One Day at Horrorland. And I think this is an original 92 print. Wait, are there pages missing? No. Because this one is saying it's from 1994, and it's only book 16. Well, okay, that makes sense. I get it. Okay, never mind. So yeah, I have One Day at Horrorland. Really good book. TV episode, not too great comparing to the book, because the book has a lot going in it, but then the TV episodes, because it was a two-parter, it doesn't have much going for it. Next, I have number 25, which is Attack of the Mutant, one of my favorite books. And I also played the old, 1996 PC video game based off this book. And that game is horrifying. Definitely not a kid's game. And I love the book. I don't like the TV episode because it just strays too much, and it's really, really weird. It's almost like a funhouse sort of thing instead of like this creepy headquarters that it's supposed to be. And I really love this book. Next, I have my favorite Goosebumps book of all time, which is number 35, A Shocker on Shock Street. And why this is my favorite, oh my God, inside. I'm trying to open it up and look inside here, and I have It just has drawings and crap inside. 1995. Yeah, 1995, the year I was born. So Shocker on Shock Street is one of my favorites because it's based in a theme park sort of situation, and I love theme parks. Okay, I love the idea of horror, spooky theme parks. And yeah, this is my favorite book. I would love to have the cassette audiobook, but I keep finding it just on eBay for like $30, and I really don't want to pay that. But here is, one of my favorites. I've listened to the audiobook before, and it was really, really good. Very well voice acted, because the original, I think there was like 6 original cassette book on tapes, and it was produced then by Disney. So it has really, really good voice acting. And in the later ones that came out in 2015 for the release of the Goosebumps feature film, they did a lot of the audiobooks for the original books, but they used pretty much just one person as the voice, and they're very, very long, and they tried to keep it, I'm assuming, unabridged, and so that's why they're probably so long. But that one person does all the voices. But with the old audiobooks, they were only an hour long, they were abridged, and it had music, it had sound effects, it had really great voice acting as well, but also it was by Disney then, so that's very interesting. And that's why I also found out that the Goosebumps TV show was on Fox, but then it moved over to Disney DX later on. So that's pretty interesting. And then the last book that I was able to find was, it came from Ohio, and it was a bibliography? Not an autobiography, it was a bibliography, written by Joe Arthur, and it has this really cool, like, picture on the front that when you move the book around, it changes the picture from R.L. Stine just writing at his desk, and then whenever you move it over, it has a picture of all these monsters behind him and him screaming at his computer desk while they're watching him, and it has Slappy and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. I don't know what year this came out in, because I owned this book before. It came from Ohio. I owned this book before, a very, very long time ago, and it didn't look like this either. Came out in April of 1997. Okay. So I think the copy I had before that I lost of It Came From Ohio, I think it was a reprint from later on, because the one I owned before, it was black. It was just all black. But this one is super purple and has this changing image on the front, but it's a really, really good read. It tells you all about how R.L. Stine became a writer and his past experiences with different sort of publishing and stuff like that that he used to do. He talks about finding his typewriter and things like that, and just falling in love with writing. And then it also has real life pictures of his family, his friends, himself inside of the book. And so that's really, really cool. All right, so let's go over the book Say Cheese and Die. So there are 4 friends: Greg Banks, Sherry Walker, Doug Arthur, and Michael Warner. And it is a sort of boring day in their town of Pitt's Landing. And so they start to come up with different ideas. And then the 4 of them agree to go into this really creepy, abandoned sort of house called the Kaufman House. And it's just this apparently supposed to be haunted house. And so it apparently is also the home of this really, really creepy guy named Spidey. And so they all arrive, and then they sneak on in. And then while they are exploring the house, they find a basement. And so they start exploring inside of the basement. And that's where Greg finds a camera hidden inside a compartment in the wall. So Greg is super interested in photography. So he just picks up the camera and it's just like, oh, heck yeah, Just got myself a camera. And so he asks his friend Michael to pose for a picture. And so Michael leans up against the staircase leading into the basement. He leans up against the railing. And so the moment Greg takes a photo of Michael, the railing breaks off and Michael falls. Then all of a sudden the kids start to hear these noises and stuff. And so Spidey enters the basement, and then the kids get super scared and they leave through the back exit. And then Greg takes Michael's photograph and the camera with him. When the group stops running, they inspect the picture that Greg took of Michael. And to everyone's surprise, Michael's picture shows him falling instead of him leaning up against the railing whenever he took the photo. Later that same day, Greg takes multiple photographs with the camera. First, he takes a photograph of his father's brand new car, but the picture shows the vehicle destroyed. Then he takes a photo of his older brother, Terry, but the picture shows him on a baseball field in a worried state. So just from that, it went from this sort of idea where whenever you take a picture of something, it stays in the same setting, but it's sort of distorted where it shows a dark future of whatever you took a photo of. But with his brother Terry, whenever he took a photo of his brother, it just showed a picture of him all of a sudden in a baseball field, super scared, whenever they were at home. So that's really interesting. So a few days later, Greg, Sherry, and Michael go to Doug's baseball game. And before it starts, Greg takes a photo. The picture shows his friend lying on the ground with his neck at an unnatural angle. Doug refuses to believe that anything bad could ever happen to him, and he assumes the camera is just malfunctioning or broken. However, during the game, a baseball hits him and causes him to fall to the ground. His neck then bends to an unnatural angle, as the picture predicted. Greg is completely sure that the camera is responsible for everything that's been happening, but his friends refuse to believe him, of course. Then at this exact same moment, the pictures of Terry and the new car being wrecked come true. Terry appears on the baseball field, worried and scared, as Terry tells Greg that their father has just been in a terrible accident and that the car is completely destroyed. And so that night, Greg has a nightmare where he takes a photo of his family during a barbecue. And this is depicting the sort of front cover of the book. And this part of the book originally wasn't even in the book, the dream sequence, because whenever Tim Jacobus started doing the artwork and finished the artwork for the book, the artwork didn't make any sense because it didn't have this barbecue scene in the book whatsoever. And so R.L. Stine actually added this part of the book into the book, I think last minute, just to have some sort of continuity. And so this nightmare scene, this dream sequence, never happened originally. So, Greg has a nightmare and he's taken a picture of his family at a barbecue. And then the picture just shows them all as living skeletons. So then later, Sherry continues to be skeptical of the alleged camera's powers, quote unquote, and asks Greg to take a picture of her at her birthday. Initially, Greg refuses to even bring the camera, but he eventually takes the camera to the party anyway. And during the party, Greg takes a picture of Sherry, but the picture doesn't show her at all. Soon after, Sherry disappears mysteriously without a trace. So a few days later, Greg and Doug begin fighting over the camera. Doug accidentally takes Greg's photograph, and the picture shows Greg with Sherry being chased by a black shadow. And even though Greg is scared, he feels hopeful because the picture showed Sherry to begin with, so she's somewhere out there. And so Greg gets an idea where, what if he takes the picture he took of Sherry at her birthday and just tears it in half? And so he does that. And when he does, she just magically reappears and she doesn't have any memory of where she had been or what happened. And so while they're talking with each other, Spidey appears and begins to chase them in sort of the sequence of what the camera showed Greg earlier, of them running from this black shadow. But while they're running away from Spidey, a neighbor sees and threatens to call the police on them, and so Spidey just runs away. Later, Doug and Michael and the others decide that the camera is just way too dangerous, and they resolve to just taking it back to the Kaufman house and putting it back in the hole where they found it in the wall. But whenever they go back inside of the Kaufman house, Spidey catches them all and reveals everything about the camera. So it actually turns out that Spidey's real name is Dr. Fritz Fredericks, and he is a deranged scientist. His lab partner created the camera, however, Spidey got greedy and just stole the camera and tried to pass it off as his own invention. But what Spidey didn't realize is that his lab partner, get ready for the twist, dabbles in the dark arts. So we got more magic and witchcraft here. And so his lab partner decided to place a curse on the camera. So now whenever a photo is taken with the camera, something bad will happen to the subject in the photo. And so Spidey mentions that the camera caused the death of all the people he ever loved. He spent his whole life trying to keep it away from society and out of the hands of the government and all that. But now that the four kids have it and know the truth, Spidey believes that he must keep them prisoners in his house forever. So, of course, the kids, being horror protagonists, try to escape. And during their struggle to get out of the Kaufman house, Spidey's photo is taken with the camera by accident. Spidey immediately dies of fright. And this is the event that the photograph that was taken of him seems to predict. Finally, Greg, Sherry, Doug, and Michael return the camera to its little hidey hole in the building, and they leave. They tell the Pitt's Landing police that they found Spidey's corpse in the house, not that they caused his death. And as the story ends, it is revealed that Joey Ferris and Mikey Ward, who are two local town bullies from the book, they followed Greg and his friends to the Kaufman house, and the two bullies go inside into the basement, they find the camera, and then they take photos of each other. And then the book just ends with the boys just waiting for their pictures to develop from the camera. So another really, really good ending, in my opinion. It had this perfect sort of cutoff ending where it could pick up later with the two boys taking pictures of each other, because it just ends with this cliffhanger of, oh, what's their pictures going to be? What's the pictures going to depict of their futures? And what sort of bad thing could happen? Spidey just straight up died, and everyone who messed with the camera prior has died. So these kids actually just seemed like they got demo version of what happened to everyone else who owned or used the camera. So there were a few different reprints, like I said, one from 2003 and then one from 2009. And then there are a few differences. So the classic Goosebumps reprint, which is the 2003, was released as a tie-in to the 8th Goosebumps Horrorland book, Say Cheese and Die Screaming, which is the 3rd Say Cheese and Die book. And it contains a bonus section titled Fright Gallery, which contains a bio on the camera, its origins, special powers, weaknesses, as well as its splat stats, which is sort of like an RPG sort of stat chart. And it has 8 out of 10 strength, 3 out of 10 intelligence, 2 out of 10 speed, 7 out of 10 attack, 1 out of 10 humor, and then 10 out of 10 evil, because it's the evil camera. And so for this book, there were quite a few international releases. There was one released in the UK, an Italian, a Spanish, Greek, German, Norwegian, Hebrew, Brazilian, Dutch, French version 1, and then French version 2, and then French version 3, and then French version 4, a Canadian release, a Danish release, Arabic, Swedish, Mexican, as a reprint, Czech, Persian, another version of the Persian book, Japanese, Brazilian, Korean, Italian, Danish, Russian in 2019, another Czech re-release and another Italian re-release with Say Cheese and Die Again in the same book. Alrighty, so now I'm going to start to talk about the differences between the different releases of this book. So in the UK, it's actually the second book in the original Goosebumps series. And in the French edition of the book, it's actually the third release. And in the French edition of the book, Greg Banks is actually named Alex Banks. Doug Arthur is named Arthur Norman and is nicknamed Quezu or Ozu in French instead of Bird. And Bird was Doug's nickname in the book. Sherry Walker is named Sarah Walker. And then in the Dutch version of the book, there are some quite a few differences. So Greg's name is changed to Sven Landman. Michael Warner is named Kevin De Groot. Sherry Walker is named Denise DeWall. Doug Arthur is named Jan Gerritsen, and his nickname is Riger, which translates to Heron. Greg has a sister rather than a brother, and her name is Fanny. The Kaufman house is called Magister House. Spidey is called Spinnekop, and his real name remains the same. After getting home from the hospital, Greg tells Fanny about the camera and shows her the picture of the wrecked car. Knowing he couldn't have taken the picture of it, she is horrified to learn the truth that the camera took a picture of the future, and she begs Greg to throw the camera away or just take it back. And Greg tells her that he will, but he gets scared to think that he will have to go back to the Kaufman house alone. The ending is completely different. So after Spidey is killed by the camera out of fright, Greg and Sherry escape the house to inform the police, like in the original book, that they found Spidey just dead in the basement. But rather than taking the camera back to the house, they decide to bury it, and out of fear that the police might find it hidden in the little cubbyhole in the wall. And the twist ending is that quite a while later, a dog starts to dig in the very spot, and the ending would be in a conflict with the second book, Say Cheese and Die Again, because Greg returns to the Kaufman house and gets the camera again in the second book. But the thing about Say Cheese and Die is that the second book, Say Cheese and Die Again, was never adapted for the Dutch translation. So there was a few merchandising for this book. The first one was a photo album sporting the cover art as sort of the front. Then there was a puzzle, a 200-piece puzzle, a purse from Cakeworthy, One Picture is Worth a Thousand Screams t-shirt, a 90s t-shirt, two 90s t-shirts, excuse me, a t-shirt from Fright Rags, a t-shirt from Creepy Company, an enamel pin from Creepy Company, a iPhone case, a baseball cap, and then three Topps trading cards. So Say Cheese and Die was adapted into an episode for the TV episode, or the TV series, and it is the 15th episode of season one. The exclamation mark at the end of Say Cheese and Die is omitted from the title, and the episode has since gained notoriety for featuring a young Ryan Gosling as the main protagonist, Greg. The audiobook was released in August of 2015, and it runs for 2 hours and 35 minutes, and it is narrated by Johnny Heller, and it was published by Scholastic. So here is some trivia, which is my favorite section of the podcast. I love just reading about fun little facts about these books. So the scene where Greg dreams about the skeletons, like I said, was added after the story was finished. And it was just because once Tim Jacobus finished the illustration for the cover, Scholastic became concerned that it didn't match the story at all. So Stein quickly wrote a dream sequence into the book. This is the second book to feature a skeleton dream, the first of which was Welcome to Deadhouse. The original Tim Jacobus cover features a young female skeleton at the picnic table. However, Greg never had any sisters in the book at all, except for the Dutch translation. This book references X-Force and the Ford Taurus. The plot of this book is similar to Rod Serling's The Twilight Zone television episode, A Most Unusual Camera. R.L. Stine was a big fan of the show, and much of his work is actually inspired by Serling. Joey and Mickey are never heard from again, and their status is left unknown in the sequel. Their picture, surprisingly, is also nowhere to be found, although it is unlikely that they took the picture with them, and it was gruesome and nasty. The skeleton cook on the cover is often mistaken for Curly on some pieces of Goosebumps merchandise, even in the 1997 advertisement for the Goosebumps fan club. And one of the most common pieces of Curly art for merchandising features Curly holding a copy of Say Cheese and Die. This may have been added in confusion. And Curly is Curly the skeleton, and it was the former mascot of the Goosebumps franchise, and he has been featured on a number of Goosebumps memorabilia. And on most of memorabilia, he is depicted with round glasses, a scarf, a pink mohawk, and red glowing eyes. On book covers and calendars, he is depicted with a white buzz cut and black pupils, and he is often depicted alongside his pet bulldog, Drool, on these covers. According to the back cover of the classic Goosebumps reprint in 2003, Say Cheese and Die has sold nearly 2 million copies in total. Despite not being explicitly named, the description of the camera's design makes it out to be similar to that of a regular old Polaroid. According to the Goosebumps Holiday Collector's Caps book, Stein had finished the story before coming up with the title. He created a list of potential titles and added Say Cheese and Die to the list as a joke before it ended up actually being the final title. Early editions of the book did not feature a number on the spine. The earliest Goosebumps order form lists this as the third book in the series and not the fourth. Although the evil camera doesn't appear in the Goosebumps film itself, the 2015 feature film, the skeleton cook on the cover is featured in the end credits animation. The camera appears as a usable item in the Goosebumps The Game. As an in-game achievement, Say Cheese is given if you take a photo with the haunted camera. The camera is an item card in the Terror in the Graveyard board game. And Terror in the Graveyard is a board game made by Milton Bradley, and it was released in 1995, and the game is played by rolling dice to move forward. And you play as either Evan Ross, Andy Gab Savory, Sari Hesed, Lizzie Morris, Luke Morris, Jerry Sadler, and or Terry Sadler, and you must collect ring cards and avoid bottomless pits and being turned into monsters by creatures like Slappy the Dummy. And the objective of the game is to escape from the graveyard, and the only way to do that is to defeat the Headless Ghost. So it was a really, really old board game. Alrighty, so now we're going to move on over to the television episode. And so Say Cheese and Die is the 15th episode of season 1, and it premiered on February 9th of 1996 on the Fox Kids Network. It ran for approximately 22 minutes. It was directed by Ron Oliver, and it guest stars Ryan Gosling whenever he was very young. So the blurb for the episode, if you were to look it up on Netflix, Greg is having fun taking pictures with the cool instant camera he found in the Kaufman's spooky old house until he realizes that the pictures which develop are not what he shot. Instead, they portray horrible disasters involving whoever or whatever is in them. The scariest part is that the disasters start to come true. Can this camera predict the future, or does it actually cause bad things to happen? The only one who knows the truth is Spidey, the strange man that seems to be stalking them. Can Greg return the camera to its rightful owner before the next awful prediction comes true? Or will his fate be frozen in film forever? Super spooky. Yep. All right, so let's go over the differences between the book and the TV episode. So the book is set in a town called Pitt's Landing during the summer. However, the television version resets it in some unnamed city during fall or autumn. In the book, Greg Banks first finds the camera in a compartment hidden in the wall of the basement of a reputed haunted house, and he and his friends are exploring. But in the TV version, he finds it in a hidden compartment, but it's in the wall of a basement in an abandoned factory sort of building. Michael is dropped from the television version completely, and instead it is Doug who becomes the camera's first victim, falling through the stairway railing. Although he gets off with only mild bruises instead of a sprained ankle, as in the book, in order for him and his friends to run away from Spidey a moment later. The later scene of Doug's picture being taken at the baseball game with the camera and the accident that follows is omitted completely from the TV episode, and Terry announcing the car getting wrecked instead occurs at the part where Greg snaps Sherry's picture. The camera in the original book is described as an ordinary camera, like I said, except that it was much heavier. But in the TV version, it's a more futuristic alien sort of camera. And it's actually unknown why it was changed so much, especially since the second DVD release also has the camera looking ordinary on the box art. Greg only snaps 4 pictures with the camera in the TV version. So the first time he takes a picture, whenever he takes Douglas's picture leading to his friend's fall off the stairs. The second is when he snaps a picture of his dad's new car that gets wrecked later. And his third is in the dream sequence of the family barbecue with their image coming out as skeletons. And the fourth is when he snaps Sherry's picture leading her to disappear. And within the book, he takes a picture of himself and it shows Sherry and him running away from the Black Shadow and that sort of thing. So they omitted a few pictures being taken in the episode. Greg and Sherry are depicted as even more brave than their book counterparts in the episode. And in the book, when Greg makes up his mind to take the camera back where he found it, Sherry has already returned. However, in the television episode, she is still missing. And he makes up his mind to take the camera back because he thinks Spidey has kidnapped Sherry and is holding her hostage. But in the book, Greg basically ropes Sherry into accompanying him on his mission. In the TV episode, Sherry voluntarily goes with him. Also in the TV version, Greg not only resists Spidey's attack, he actually shoves the adult off, which he didn't do at all in the book. And in the TV version, Sherry snaps Spidey's picture on purpose, where in the book, Spidey's picture was taken by accident, which ended up killing him in the book. Spidey's true name is never revealed in the TV version, and he also claims to be the sole inventor of the camera during his confrontation with Greg and Sherry, but never explains how it got its powers or was created. The ending of the TV version is completely different, so instead of Spidey dying by fright, he actually gets trapped inside his own camera when his picture is taken. So when Joey and Mickey find the camera, Spidey gets released, however, in the second Say Cheese and Die episode. So there were a few different releases for this episode. There was the Say Cheese and Die DVD released on September 11th of 2007, and then this same DVD was released on September 11th of 2012. And so the 2007 version of the DVD box has the 2003 classic Goosebumps series cover art as the box art. And then the 2012 release has somewhat of the 2009 art, but it's slightly different because now instead it has the camera on the ground and it has the flash going off, but the hand next to it is now a skeleton and the lens isn't broken and there is no skull inside of the lens. There was the Kids Double Feature DVD set, which included Cry of the Cat and Say Cheese and Die, and that was released on September 16th of 2008. Then there was the 3-pack Thriller set, which included Monster Blood, Night of the Living Dummy, and Say Cheese and Die. And that was released on August 26th of 2014. And here's some trivia, your favorite part, again. So the actor who plays Greg Banks was a young Ryan Gosling. Also a young Scott Speedman makes a cameo as a policeman investigating Sherry's disappearance. Richard McMillan also appears as Mr. Blankenship in season 3 in the episode Teacher's Pet, when Mr. Banks is in the hospital after the car accident, his cast reads, "You crack me up, Terry." The theme song in this episode is played at a higher key and has a different atmosphere to it than the regular theme. The same occurs in the previous television episode. The title of this episode removes the exclamation mark from the original book title. And then there is a flub or a goof in the episode. So when Greg and Doug spot Joey and Mickey walking towards them across the street, Greg says Mickey's last name is Knotts. However, in the credits of the episode, Mickey's name has been changed to Ward, just like in the book. All right, so that was Say Cheese and Die. Like I said, the idea is super interesting, but the execution didn't work out, especially for the TV episode. And I just find it interesting how Ryan Gosling is here, trying his best to save this episode, but they took out a few pictures being taken. And in the book, of course, Spidey dies and everyone he loved died because of this camera. The camera looked ordinary and normal, and that's one of the parts that I didn't like about the TV episode after watching or after reading the book. I didn't like the TV episode because the camera is supposed to look normal, but in the TV episode they made this gigantic piece of plastic looking alien technology. And it just didn't work, in my opinion. The camera is what didn't sell it for me. I know it was supposed to look spooky and scary and foreign, but it just didn't work as a spook factor. But yeah, like I said, it was hard to get through the TV episode. The book was far better than the TV episode, but that's how most of this goes, because it was a budgeted television series. There are some really good episodes with very, very good makeup and special effects and practical effects and settings and stuff like that. But some of the stuff they tried to do and change about the books to the TV adaptations just didn't work very well. But there you guys have it. That was Say Cheese and Die, everybody. So the next book we're going to be going over is going to be The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, which actually doesn't have a TV adaptation. So I'm just going to be rambling on about the book, probably, for as long as possible. So it's not, I don't know, 10 minutes long or something like that. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, hope you guys will be super excited for that one. It'll be super interesting, because this series is all about me comparing the episode with the book. And if the book doesn't have a TV episode, then it's kind of hard. It's going to be the same thing with Night of the Living Dummy. Night of the Living Dummy doesn't have a TV episode. It just has the book. The first Night of the Living Dummy to have a TV episode was the second book. So it's going to be very interesting to try and see what I can do with that. But thank you everybody so much for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. If you do want to support me, please head on over to the Anchor site and hit the support button for just $1 a month. It really, really will help me push out more episodes more often, because I'd like to do them every Thursday and Tuesday, but as it seems right now, it's kind of difficult. But yeah, if you have any stories or something I'd love to read over the air, you can just send an email over to higgpodcast@gmail.com. That's higgpodcast@gmail.com. And I'd love to read out your stories and maybe have an episode dedicated to listener stories about Goosebumps or any paranormal stuff that happened within your lives. That'd be super cool. But I'd love to know your guys' opinion as well. So please just email me there to let me know if you have any tips or tricks or any suggestions you'd like me to do. And I will see if I can get around to doing them. But thank you everybody so much for listening. And that's how I got Goosebumps.